Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
There are only 27 shopping days left until Christmas, and there's a lot to do before the big day.
Last year, COVID kept many families apart, and continued concerns this year haven't made things much better. There has never been a better time to have an old-fashioned Christmas.
Bring some sense of nostalgia to this holiday season by using fresh greens everywhere, topped off with a fresh-cut Christmas tree and a real poinsettia all around the house.
Fresh evergreen in every room will help us focus on the holy days of the holidays rather than worrying about COVID and the continual bad news on TV and the internet.
Today's show will be a buyer's guide for everything fresh evergreen. Wreaths, roping, greens, and trees.
So stay tuned and we'll be back right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Before the weather gets too cold, now's the time to apply Fertilome's winterizer for established lawns. Grass absorbs the greatest amount of nutrients later in the season, just prior to the winter months. This 25-5-6 analysis also contains 5 micronutrients: boron, copper, iron, manganese, and zinc. Fertilome's winterizer for established lawns builds hardiness, stem strength, and disease resistance, ensuring a healthy, stable plant which can endure the hardships of winter better than weaker plants. Lawns fed in the fall are first to green up in the spring. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's winterizer for established lawns and expect to have the best-looking lawn in the neighborhood.
Church's Garden Center and Farms, Seashore Road, Cape May, New Jersey. Collegeville, do it best. Ridge Pike, Collegeville, Pennsylvania. County Line Nursery, Harleysville Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, Ann, fresh evergreen wreaths could be as big a symbol of Christmas as the actual Christmas tree, huh?
That's true. It actually, Christmas wreaths really started as part of a pagan holiday, the holiday of Yule. Yule. No, so Y-U-L-E. Anyway, it was an ancient Germanic and Scandinavian holiday where it was a 12-day festival, and they called it midwinter to honor the returning of the sun in the seasonal cycle.
How about that?
So the wreaths were round, obviously, to basically represent that cycle. Mm-hmm. Very cool, very interesting, and they held candles that were lit in them in hopes of the return of the warmth of the sun. In ancient Rome, too, they had the same type of celebration called Saturnalia.
Saturn.
During which they worshipped Saturn, who was the god of agriculture or sowing, from December 17th through December 23rd. Then they used wreaths as well as a form of decoration and also gave them as gifts. Now, Christians hijacked the holidays, right?
That's right, yeah. We adopted that, and the circular shape of the wreath represents God with no beginning and no end. So, you know, that's the circular end of it.
Right.
And then the use of evergreen branches in a wreath, okay, signifies eternal life brought through Jesus.
And about that. Excellent. Excellent. And that and makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
You know, and the wreath also was meant to represent the crown of thorns worn by Jesus on the cross.
And by hanging one of these on their door, Christians were inviting the Spirit of Christ into their homes, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, how about that?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
It is good.
Fresh wreaths to me are just, I mean, when it's real, it's real. Oh, when it looks like, you know, it's, when it looks like it, you know, have you ever seen a wreath that's been around just a little too long, an artificial wreath where it just doesn't look, it really looks fake and it's all kind of twisted and the needles are like crimped.
Yeah, there's different colors.
Like fresh wreath. Like, and you can do things like if you're worried about them staying preserved. Again, it's wilt stop.
Wilt stop, yeah.
And that's a product where you dip it in and it seals the needles so that there's the transpiration or the moisture isn't lost through the needles. Yeah. You can do that to your trees, all of your greens, all of your greens.
And that's the beauty of garden centers. We carry the wreaths, you know, all types of wreaths, right, Len?
That's right.
And you know they're fresh. And we got a lot of them from Oregon. And let me tell you something. People come in and they love it. They love it.
Yeah. You know? Also, we're getting some from Canada. So they're basically balsam, noble fir, and then we have mixes. Like if you're looking on YouTube, we have one in the studio with us. It's actually a window swag that has berry juniper in it. It has western cedar. And it's decorated with pine cones. I love the natural, basic... You know, items when there's a lot of plastic in it.
And this has a great scent. I mean, you know, when you walk in, you can smell it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you have bad nose.
Yeah.
or allergies.
Oh, well, got allergies, we can put it outside.
Yeah.
Like I know for Thanksgiving, I had a big long runner of this with the greens all made up. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
You can't beat these, you know, and they're not really expensive either. You know, they're just a beautiful, and the way they put it handmade together is incredible.
Yeah, that's another. It is an art,
right?
And for the value of what it is, you know, you think about how much you're spending on gifts this year.
Oh yeah,
you know, and honestly, everything is up. Everything up. But we're going to talk about that when we talk about Christmas trees.
Right.
So we've got to take a break. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Tony's Farm and Garden, Windsor, New Jersey. Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 a.m. WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len, he's Julio, and it's Christmas time.
It is, yes. We love it.
Yeah, we're talking about fresh greens and Christmas trees today. And what we're going to talk about are garlands, mantelpieces, table runners, and all different types. Mm. There's different types of garlands, too. It's not just regular white pine.
Right.
Garland and roping are the same thing.
Same thing.
You know, they're... You know, it always gets confusing when people ask for, they ask sometimes, they go, do you have any rope?
Yeah.
Rope? Yeah, right. What do you mean? You tying time, up your trees? Time, what are you doing? And it's from roping. And I know that I've always been raised for knowing it as roping, but there are different parts of the country that it's only as garland.
Right.
Garland sounds fancy. You know, it's fancy.
Fancy.
Yeah. So, fancy. If you ask for garland, you might pay more. But... most of the times, it's solid varieties, and that they're sold in anywhere from 15-foot to 25-foot to 75-foot lengths.
Wow.
White pine sells more than anything else.
Yeah.
Than anything else. But I'm partial to the mixes. Mm-hmm. Now, again, there's cedar, which is, it almost... See, a lot of people get confused. They think it's arborvitae, but it actually it kind of has that same feel,
look.
You know, even like a Leyland cypress.
Right.
But it's called cedar, Western cedar. Mm-hmm. There's also mixes of pine and cedar.
That's nice.
There used to be something called princess pine.
Princess, huh?
Princess pine is also known as ground pine. And I have a problem selling it because it grows as a ground cover in the ground, even though it looks like it's an evergreen and it looks like it's a conifer. It's really more like a ground cover that grows in the woods, and there are certain sections where it grows, and people go in and they'll harvest that, and they have like a root system that's probably about 6 inches long, and it's real soft and airy, but you can't cultivate it.
Yeah.
It's not like you could say, well, I'm going to plant some on the farm. It doesn't work that way. So ground pine, they have to take it from the natural environment where it's growing wild. And when they take it, often it doesn't grow back.
Oh, wow.
So all of a sudden, you know, you're depleting a resource.
Right.
And I mean, it's very nice. It's very pretty. It doesn't drop its needles as much as some of the other ones, but... I have a problem with it. I think it's wrong in some way. You know, it's just...
I think so.
It just, you know...
Sustainability.
Yeah, right.
Now, does it cost more? I would think
I
would think so.
Oh, yeah, it costs a lot more. Yeah. You're just not seeing it as much anymore because of that whole environmental factor.
Right.
Yeah.
so you don't see it.
I saw it, considered buying some, and then said, you know what? I'm not doing it. To the detriment of our of our sales. But sometimes you got to make a stand.
That's right.
Again, my favorite are some of the mixes. Like there's a boxwood. You can get boxwood.
Boxwood, yeah.
But there's actually a boxwood blight right now where you have to get certified to sell boxwood in different states. And I'm talking about the plant.
Right.
So that blight could be spread by using boxwood roping and garland.
Garland, yeah.
So pretty, you know.
Stay away from that.
You're not seeing as much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would stay away from it. I don't, know, I don't want to spread that. Not a good idea.
Yeah, not a good thing. Yeah.
But again, it's the blends of where there's two different types of greens that always look best to me.
Yeah.
Now, mantelpieces, okay, kind of self-explanatory, but what it is, it's a wider, shorter, you know, it could be anywhere from 24 inches to 48 inches, and that it's more of a decorative piece, even though it's made basically the same way. There's a lot of more greens in it, and that there's, you know, different highlights. Sometimes there's, you know, there's going to be buried juniper in it. There's going to be even sometimes they'll put like winterberry holly, or they'll put even we're seeing more and more beautyberry used.
Beautyberry, yeah.
But if beautyberry freezes, so I wouldn't use it outside. It freezes, the berries drop off, and then you have sticks. But inside, you know.
No problem.
That's no problem.
Yeah, now, beautiful.
Table runners are about the same thing, that they're meant to put in onto, like you can put them as small ones onto a coffee table. Mm-hmm. You could put other ones at your holiday table, at your dining table. And that they just are a nice mix of greens and natural decorations. And that you can also add things to it, you know, whether you use white branches, snow branches, to make it, you know, customize it in any way you want.
Yeah, you know what? You brought something in that I really love. It's the, I'm going to get one. It's a 6-inch candle rings.
Yeah.
Refresh. And you can put your, you know, your candle in the center of it.
Yeah. They're like a miniature wreath.
Yeah, a little miniature wreath. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. I always thought that they should be used like on a doorknob.
Oh, yeah?
You know, you put them on a doorknob.
Yeah,
but then again, every time you open the door, you might drop some needles. If it's someplace where it's easier to clean up, just have the vacuum close by.
That's right.
So, Julio, with the whole use of greens, it's pretty interesting. The story, like, I mean, it, again, predates Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so give me a little background.
All right. Before Christianity land became the primary religion in Europe, like Druids and Celts and Norse and Roman civilizations, they celebrated the winter solstice around December 21st, right?
Yep.
And these cultures, they usually had live greenery to symbolize eternal life. That's what they were thinking about, you know? And so the plants that stayed green all year, they played a critical part and role in their celebrations, which is really amazing how they do that.
It is. And that where, and again, that, you know, you think as Christians, William, and you and I talk all the time about, you know, eternal things, and that, you know, there is a seed planted in these other civilizations where, you know, a lot of people say it's like, well, you know, it's Christian guys just went out and, you know, did all this stuff. But, it, you know, those seeds were planted long before
that,
it is, again, like, it's not, it's like, and like the same point is like, okay, so Druids and Celtic, I mean, so that's over, you know, so it's Ireland and Scotland and and basically England. I mean, this is ancient times.
Going back,
like Romans, we talked about the Saturnalia, where, you know, the whole Roman god.
Saturn.
Saturn, right? Yeah. And that they would decorate their homes. Mm-hmm. And it was small. It started out small, like a branch or just a little string of greens, they call it, which is basically a garland or a roping. But it eventually turned into a Christmas tree.
Yeah, how about that?
You know? Like, we think of the Christmas tree that the Christmas tree's always been around. I love your story that you never, you came when you were a young kid from Cuba, and you never saw a Christmas tree. You didn't know what it was.
No, never.
I think it's funny. I can imagine being a little kid. Like, why are we bringing a tree in our house?
That's right. You know? Yeah. Oh, we had it with palm trees, you know?
Yeah. So, but Christmas tree, even though it's old, before the Christian faith,
right?
We've got a story in a bit that where it talks about how it really only came about because the Queen of England wanted to decorate her home because her German husband, okay, this is getting odd, that her German husband celebrated by using greens. But before that, you know, Queen Victoria is who it was.
Right.
I mean, that's not that long ago.
No, it isn't.
That's not that long ago.
No, it's not.
There's other things where when she brought that in, it basically opened up the door to say it's okay. You know, that's the big deal.
The queen rules, right?
And that 1848.
Wow.
1848. So, you know, Christmas trees have got to be, you know, 500 years old, you know, Jesus walked the earth right afterwards, you know, let's do a Christmas tree.
Right.
And that here it turns out it's like a completely pagan thing,
right?
But where that we have adopted, and I don't know, just and that it really only became popular, you know, in 1848. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is transforming of what it was and what it is now.
Do you remember what her husband's name was?
Prince Charles. Prince Albert.
Prince Albert. There you go. Do you have Prince Albert in a can? Let him out.
Let him out.
Nah, it's an old joke. Really, a really old bad joke.
Okay.
Anyway, but Garland is actually the original Christmas tree. Evolved, and what happened is they would decorate the garland with like dried fruits and popcorn, and there was really no definitive answer why it was dried fruit or popcorn, except that there wasn't really much decorations. I mean, China wasn't making all those decorations yet.
No industry yet.
And again, you think about it, so it's the winter solstice, the 21st, right? And that farmers weren't really doing anything. So what they did is they made these decorations and out of the dried fruit that they put up and sold them to make money.
Now, makes sense.
Because I can, you know, see old-time movies where they've got a needle and thread and they're doing the popcorn to make a popcorn thing.
Sure.
You know, putting a cranberry in between such to give it some color.
Dried fruits. Yeah.
There you go. There's a good kids project.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
And you can eat it, too.
Yeah, be careful. You can use dental floss. You can get that popcorn out of your teeth.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Pretty cool.
Yeah. But it keeps going back to the winter solstice, And that, you know, now in modern times, that day is like, okay, like what's so big about that?
Yeah,
now,
no big deal.
It's how in the world in 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, they knew that that was the shortest day of the year.
Right.
I find that amazing, and that they actually celebrated it because, honestly, for myself, like I hate when it gets dark early and when it's dark when you wake up, and that I always look at that date knowing that we're going to have a little bit more sun. We're going to have each day we'll have a little bit more sun that goes all the way until the June 21st.
Yeah.
Where that's our June 21st, 22nd is our longest day of the year. Mm-hmm. So the longest amount of sunlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, probably these people were agricultural, you know, people.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, they were outside quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. They knew they had to live off the land.
Yeah. And they, you know, and that winter solstice really hurt them, you know.
Yeah. And it was hard to grow crops because there wasn't enough sun.
Yeah.
It was winter.
Yeah.
It was winter.
And who doesn't love green? Oh.
Yeah. Garlands again were brought to America from Europe, and again they were going to use those to decorate their Christmas trees. So those were pretty sparse Christmas trees.
Yeah, they were.
And that again, they're also full of Christian symbolism, like we had talked earlier. Holly, again, was often used when weaving the garlands together. I almost bought some holly.
Oh, did you?
I saw some holly garland, and it was really expensive, but I thought, how cool. I mean, I'd love to have like a blue holly, say like a blue maid or blue girl or blue prince, blue princess holly as a garland. Now, again, it was the berries on the holly and the thorns on the holly represent the, again, the at the crucifixion where Jesus wore the crown of thorns.
Right.
And that the red berries are symbolism for the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's that everybody knows about, greens, wreaths, roping, all that, but I don't think everybody realizes why.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a symbolism behind it.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, when settlers first arrived, before it was the United States, they brought garland with them. And around the holidays, families looking to make a little extra money would take branches of firs and pines and spruces and twist them all together. That became a shapeable decoration, and families would sell them to neighbors or villagers and help them bring a little extra money in.
Yeah, that's great.
Just like the we were saying about the regular garland. Right. So you might say the tradition of working long hours for additional holiday money dates back to the origins of our country. So,
isn't that something?
That's right.
It goes right back.
Right.
We thank them, though, for all that. Because, what would we do without this?
It would be just another day.
I know.
And we know that that's not true.
Oh, no, it's not.
That's not true.
It's joyful. I mean, when you look at this and you say, wow, look at how beautiful they made this by hand.
Right.
It's a special kind of thing. And it's not, not your everyday when you go walking into a box store and you see the, like you're saying, plastic and they just threw it in the machine. It's machine made.
Oh, yeah.
This is somebody put their love into this, right?
That's right.
And that's what we love. That's what we love. Somebody loves this, and they did it, and you can't find it everywhere, right, Lynn?
No, you can't.
Especially, so come to your garden center and look at these beautiful things that man has made.
Right, and it's special.
Wonderful.
It's not a, it's not just, you're not just cheaping it out by buying a cheap roll of roping.
That's right.
It's get something good because it'll make you feel good, just like how a house plant in your house makes you feel differently.
Sure.
It's the same thing by bringing in the evergreens into the
house.
That's
right. And your friends are going to love it also. The family's going to, oh, wow, what's this? I've never seen that before. Because you're not going to see this all in every place that you go to. No way.
No. Again, take a look at our video on YouTube. You'll see you've got I guess it's either a table runner or a mantle that's of that mixed.
Yeah, it's a table.
The mixed is greens and all. So.
Yeah, it's incredible.
All right, we're up against a break again. When we come back, we're going to talk about swags and just bunches of greens. We're going to talk about gray blankets a little bit and what's up with that.
All right.
And we're going to go again, continue our discussion on everything evergreen when we get back.
Beautiful.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Before the weather gets too cold, now's the time to apply Fertilume's winterizer for established lawns. Grass absorbs the greatest amount of nutrients later in the season, just prior to the winter months. This 25-5-6 analysis also contains 5 micronutrients: boron, copper, iron, manganese, and zinc. Fertilume's winterizer for established lawns builds hardiness, stem strength, and disease resistance, ensuring a healthy, stable plant which can endure the hardships of winter better than weaker plants. Lawns fed in the fall are first to green up in the spring. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's winterizer for established lawns and expect to have the best-looking lawn in the neighborhood.
Green Acres Nursery and Garden Center, West County Line Road, Colmar, Pennsylvania. Herbin's Garden Center, Chestnut Street, Emmis, Pennsylvania. Laurel Oak Garden Center, Thompson Mill Road, Marlton, New Jersey.
The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomer's Home and Garden Center is dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds. We carry a flock of feeders like the Brome Squirrel Proof Feeder, which has a lifetime guarantee. Brome makes fantastic feeders for frustrating squirrels and feeding songbirds. Bloomer's Bird Sanctuary has a vast selection of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. We carry Lyric, Kohl's, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and our own line called Bloomer's Blend. Bloomer's Blend Songbird Magnet contains premium black oil sunflower, peanut splits, millet, safflower, and tree nuts. It's sure to attract the most colorful songbirds to your yard. Bloomer's Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County, New Jersey. Visit us online at www.bloomers.com. When you come in, ask for Shirley Spurbeck, Bloomer's Wild Bird Specialist. Mention you heard it on Bloomers in the Garden Radio, and we'll give you $10 off a 20-pound bag of Bloomer's Blend Songbird Magnet Mix.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, then, you know, we got swags, we got bunches, and that, and even great blankets, and they all start with a foundation of what? Fresh greens, okay?
That's right.
You know, when I first started, Bloomers, I had no idea what a swag was, what a bunch was. It's like, you know, this Cuban guy doesn't know what this is. It's like,
do you want to hear something funny? Carl's, I think it's on Facebook or somewhere,
right,
that his name is Lanky Swag.
Lanky Swag.
So a swag. He's tall, you know, skinny.
Skinny, yeah.
But, you know, so if you got a little swag, I mean, when you realize that a swag is a bunch of, basically a bunch of evergreen branches tied together.
Tied together.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, brother.
So,
poor Carl.
Yeah. Oh, he does fine.
Yeah, he does. He looks good.
But as far as that goes, I mean, you can get greens from your own landscape.
Oh, yeah.
You know, certainly you can buy them from your local garden center, but you can go out with a pair of clippers and have a bunch of greens in no time, no time. And we talked, I think, week before, about magnolias. And where, you know, using magnolia leaves and as decorations they're beautiful, bright, shiny, you know.
Yeah. Winter berries and
Like winter berry holly regular hollies.
Winter hollies,
and you know, you've got a white pine somewhere on their yard.
At least. Yeah.
So
take it from your neighbor.
Douglas fir. Hey. did you hear that disclaimer in the beginning of the show?
Right.
But it's easy. If you take a bunch, right? A bunch of greens. You kind of layer them out like you would a feather, where you get the widest branches at the bottom, and then you go a little bit shorter, a little bit shorter, a little bit shorter, and all the stems are gathered at the top. Right. And then you get a wire around them and tie them up real tight. And then you can use like a hot glue gun, or you can use wire and wire the decorations right to it. And decorations could be, you know, natural pine cones, or they could be even like little tufts of evergreen that are different colors. Like, say, a variegated euonymus.
Yeah, that would be nice.
You know, you put variegated euonymus in there, or you put something that's different.
Different, yeah.
You know, so many of the like, our stuff doesn't, but a lot of the standard wreaths and garlands and stuff that you see are just, everybody looks like they got the same thing.
Yeah.
You got the same thing. So if you do that, you can make things a little bit different.
And yeah, you can.
Now, a swag, okay, is again where it's a group of a bunches tied together so that they're elongated. And that it's a window swag, okay, is that same thing where you take a bunch and we create one bunch one on bunch. One side, you mirror that look on the other side,
yeah.
You take the stems and you wire them together. And so that they're shorter, you put a bow in the middle.
Oh, look at that.
Presto.
Beautiful. Another done. Beautiful thing. Yeah.
Done.
Yep.
You know,
that's amazing.
I am always amazed on how many window swags that we sell year.
Oh, yeah.
And that most people want them simple, where they just want a red bow in the middle.
That's it.
I don't want a lot of decorations. Mm-hmm. I don't want any. So if you get the evergreen, and I prefer like a Fraser. Green for the background, yeah. Or a balsam.
Balsam, yeah, beautiful.
So, and that again, it's you can make them longer by you can grab a small section of lath and then wire
it together.
It right onto the lath, so that way it's sturdy. Because we often have some people who try to do it themselves, and it's nice and straight. And then when they pick it up and hold it in the middle, it looks like a mustache. It just bends over, so instead of it being straight.
Right.
So you got to put a couple of wires in there. Sometimes there's a base in the background.
Yeah.
Grave blankets.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, what are they, cold? But a grave blanket.
Yeah.
I've been making grave blankets since I was a little kid.
No kidding.
And that it is, you know, it is a memorial to recognize the people that have passed and that it's something nice because you bring it to the cemetery and yes, it's there and then you know they throw it away, but that's not what it's about. It's about going to the cemetery, giving the respect to the person that has passed, mm-hmm. you know, taking some time mm-hmm. to meditate over their life and their effect on you, mm-hmm. and that you leave it there, and it just is it's got a lot of symbolism connected with our Christian faith and with really it's doesn't have to be a Christian thing. It's just basically a respect thing.
Yeah.
A respect
memorial.
Thing.
Yep. Memorial. Yep. You're thinking about the person when you know you're doing it.
You know, I've made a lot of we make grave blankets all different sizes. I mean, I've made them where they're 8 feet.
Oh yeah,
8 feet that. Long.
Yeah, it's a monster.
You know, there are. I get the forklift.
Yeah, I know.
But you know, it always kills me though.
Yeah.
Is that when I have to make one for a child's grave?
Oh boy.
And that's just it's awful.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
But it also helps me to reflect on the preciousness of our lives here,
it is.
And that there is there's something about. Yeah. All right. A little inside. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be buried or are you going to be cremated?
I hope I get cremated.
You want to get cremated?
Yeah.
It's cheaper.
It is.
But then again, what do you want to do with your ashes? I don't want them. I'm telling you right now.
You don't want them?
I don't want them. Well, what I might do is like bury them underneath a tree somewhere. It's good potash.
Yeah,
you know,
I like
good
that.
Fertilizer
yeah,
for
good
that
fertilizer,
tree.
Yeah.
Then you'll be in those tree branches for as long as it lives.
That's good. Yeah.
If I'm growing, it may not be long.
No.
I don't know. Yeah. Does anybody like because of the traditions today is that it used to be everybody right after Thanksgiving picked up a grave blanket, went to the cemetery. They did their aunt, and they did their uncle, and they did their grandmother, and their mother, and their sister. Right. You know, everybody got a blanket.
Everybody got one, yeah.
You know, and now that tradition is kind of disappearing, and it's a little bit sad. And, and as people, you know, choose to be cremated, that it's, you know, you're not.
Changes.
It's not. It's. Your mom passed away. My mom just passed away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, there must be times, well, that you have wanted to. You know, you basically have this imaginary conversation with family members that have passed.
Right.
And that, you know, I think it's mentally healthy where, again, bringing a grave blanket to the cemetery is something that it reconnects
it
not just you and that person that's passed away, but also the memories of your entire family.
That's right.
So it's not just the one to one. It's that family member had a role within your whole dynamic of, you know, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, you know, and it makes you remember that. And for those that are living, it makes it all that more precious.
It does.
Yeah. For the holiday that we're celebrating.
Mm. Oh yeah, and I hope we don't lose that. You know,
I hope so too. I mean, we encourage everybody to you know, examine that, and I don't know. I think it's an important part. Thing to save and to hang on to.
I think so.
Now, enough of that sappy stuff.
Yeah,
but you can make a grape blanket yourself. But honestly, just go buy one from your local garden center. Yeah. Put some greens together, and you could do like a large swag and put for them. But by the time you do that, you could have bought one and been on your way.
It takes a little effort.
and speaking for those that make them, you know, they are made and the intentions are understood of how that affects the family.
It does.
So anyway, look at the time. Pull you off.
Wow.
All right. We'll be right back. Right after this, we're going to talk about Christmas trees. So hang in there. We'll see you after the break.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. This segment is going to be short, but we're going to talk about using a living bald and burlapped or a potted Christmas tree. And it's a great way to get that evergreen into your house, so your Christmas tree in your house, save money on that, but also to get a landscape plant outside.
Yeah.
Now, first, I want to say that it needs to be watered, and it can only be in your house for a short time, less than a week. And that you've got to act like this week, we've got 20 degrees that's happened. So finally, it's cold.
It is.
And that tree is going to be acclimated to 20 degrees. And if you want to bring it into your house into 70 degrees, it may start growing if you have it in there too long. And then you bring it outside and you're going to kill it. So you got to make sure there's a few rules, that you need to follow.
That's right.
You know, the first is bring it in slow. Yeah. Make sure you bring it in slow. Second is dig the hole now.
Yes.
So when you take it out, if the ground is frozen, you're not trying to dig through what's like rock because it's all. Also, after you dig that hole, put the soil in the wheelbarrow and leave your wheelbarrow in your garage where it's not going to freeze like a rock.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more people say, I can't believe you told me. It's the best advice I ever got because right. I had to plant those things, and I mean, we used to plant them all the time, and it is a chore. If it is cold, and we've got a big cold snap right after, you know, the first of the year.
Right.
I mean, it's
tough.
You know, it's like a cartoon where you hit the ground and it's like, ding, 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 you know, it's like you need a pick, and it's just all bad. And the other part's bad for the plant.
Oh yeah.
And that's why you bring the soil into the garage. Because if you're putting chunks of soil back around the root ball, that you're going to end up with air pockets that are going to dry that tree out. And in the wintertime, that's when it's the driest. So you got to make sure that soil can be tamped and pushed and compacted around the root ball. And still, same thing applies, right, Julio?
Yes.
You're going to use half the soil to take out of the hole and half bumper crop.
Right.
Keep it defrosted.
Yes.
Keep it defrosted. Right. And then when you bring it in, put it in one of those big metal
tubs.
Wash tubs.
Wash tubs, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cast cast iron. No, it's galvanized.
Galvanized.
And when you water it, don't water it like you're sitting it in water.
Oh no.
Take some beach towels, put it around the top. And wet the beach towel so it basically locks in the moisture around the root. I mean, I've had people tell me, it's like, yeah, I had the bucket half filled with water.
Oh, no.
Nah, you can't do that. Ooh. You can't do that. How many times do we talk about overwatering?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Not only going to be overwatering, but when you bring it out, the soil's going to be like pudding.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. So, again, just make sure that you do water it, you know, put one of the kids in charge of making sure that they're checking for water. It needs to be moist. It does not have to be wet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't leave it in for more than a week. And use ChapStick for your plants.
Yep. Wilt Stop.
Wilt Stop will lock in that moisture in the needles and will prevent it from dissipating, and that then it'll be outside and things will be good.
Yeah,
but you cannot use it on your tree when it is below freezing. So you got to pick a day where it's nice enough outside that you can spray it and it dries before the weather gets below, you know, say, I mean, you could hit it at 30 degrees, but anything below 30, I wouldn't do it. So, all right, that's it for this segment. Julio, fresh cut Christmas trees are next.
Oh, yes.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables.
Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend organic potting soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor organic potting soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend organic potting soil is available at these local retailers.
Offers of Kissel Hill Home and Garden Store, Rorristown, Pennsylvania. Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden.
Well, you know, Len, we love fresh cut Christmas trees, and we get excited when they come in because we know that, you know, the season is just around the corner, and just wonderful time, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was because we'd get some time off after Christmas.
Is that what it is?
No, no. Everybody wants you to go out and get your Christmas tree today.
Yeah, early.
Look, short supplies. Here's some of the reasons. One, when the trees were supposed to be planted was around 2008. Do you remember what happened in 2008? There was the meltdown of the market, and it was the Great Recession. So what happened is that the farmers didn't have enough money to buy seedlings to plant in their fields. So they didn't buy anything. The producers of the seedlings didn't have any customers to buy the seedlings, so they got tossed, and there were no seedlings to buy after that. And that what's happened now is you combine that, they should be ready for harvest, but they're not. And that to make money, guys cleared their fields because they needed cash to make that mortgage payment, to make that nut. It takes 10 to 15 years to grow a tree.
Yeah.
And that, I'd say this every year, a cut Christmas tree takes 15 years to grow. An Xbox takes about 20 minutes. What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is the symbol of Christmas. It is everything. But this year, they're going to be in big short supply. Artificial trees are going to be in short supply. All those ship containers that you see off the coast of Santa Barbara and all of that area in California, guess what? Your trees are in them.
That's right.
So they're not going to make it. Yeah. So things are going to be expensive, and they're going to be in short supply. I mean, we may be out of trees in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So we're going to miss 2 weeks of the season because here's another thing.
Right.
With, you know how there's such a shortage of workers?
Right.
They don't have anybody to cut the trees, load the trucks.
Yeah.
It is going to be a crazy year for cut Christmas trees. Yeah. So if you see one, buy one.
Buy one right away.
You know, go to your local garden center today. Yeah. Go pick it. They'll hold it. Mm-hmm. As long as you pay for it, I'm sure they'll hold it. Mm-hmm. And then you can pick it up whenever you need to. You don't have to put it up right away.
No, you don't.
But one thing is when you get your tree home, and if you want to wait, make sure you put it in the garage, leave that netting on, put it in the garage, put it in a bucket of water, and then it'll absorb that water and you'll be fine. Like at Bloomers, we make a fresh cut on the bottom for you, and we'll tie it in your car, and we'll put it on your stand if you bring your stand. Most of the regular garden centers that I know do pretty much all of those things. But the trick is to making sure that after you get it home, You open up that netting about 2 or 3 days to let the tree fall, let those branches fall level. Yeah. And that, look, it's fall, and that when it's fall, leaves drop, but so do needles. So what you need to do is make sure that you get that tree in water, you let it drop, stamp it out a little, get those needles that are falling just because it's a natural time for them to shed, and then put it up and have a great Christmas.
Yes.
So we are way over time today. Like, if you have any questions at all,
call us.
Want to know, like, how did Martin Luther get involved with a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
How did they get candles on a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
I'll tell you real quick. Martin Luther was walking through the woods. Uh-huh. He looked through the evergreens at the stars, and that he saw that the stars were on each branch, and he equated it to the love of Christ.
Isn't that wonderful?
So, anyway. Yeah,
call us 609-685-1880. As Len was saying, hey, you got any questions? Just let us know.
That's right. All right, everybody. We'll be right back right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Here we are, down by the schoolyard.
Yes, yes.
They were out to talk about Christmas in the schoolyard. In the schoolyard, just not in the school.
Yeah, not in the school.
Look, if you're looking for a good cut Christmas tree, here are recommendations. Yes. Number one would be Fraser fir. Mm-hmm. Number two would be a Douglas fir. Take it back. I'd say two is a balsam.
Two is a balsam.
Three is Douglas fir. You'll see a Canaan fir now and then, which I'm actually really starting to like those. They're not grown as much, so you don't see them that often.
How about a Fraser fir?
Fraser fir. Well, yeah, that's number one.
That's number one, yeah.
Did I say that?
I don't know. Did
I think I did.
It did.
Anyway, one thing to look for is if you find a noble fir, they're from the West Coast. They've had a long ride to get here, but it's very, very pretty.
Beautiful, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Again, if you've got questions about anything that has to do with garland, greens, roping, Christmas trees, just call the hotline.
That's right. Yep.
All right. We're done, Julio.
We're done. Oh, my goodness.
We'll be talking about Christmas next week again.
Yeah.
Poinsettias. Right? Cactus.
Christmas cactus. Yeah. All
the amaryllis.
Oh.
We hope you're listening.
Yep.
We'll see you next week in the garden.
See you in the garden.